Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of Birds on a Blue Note. I got RJ joining me today. A little later, Zach's gonna be with us as well, and no real scheduled chat for today, so gonna kind of freestyle, see what's on everybody's mind, and go from there. So RJ, I'll kick it over to you. What are you thinking about with the cards right now?
Well, I know one of the things we were kind of discussing independently, away from the pod the other day is kind of like what the future of the cards, major league franchise at least looks like. Talking about Mizalak and Flores and Gersh, and Mizalak's only got what one season left after this year. What happens with that? Does he retire? Does he like just take a cushier job in the backseat somewhere else? And if that's the case, does that mean that Marmol's job is safe necessarily if this season doesn't go well, or Gersh is going to get promoted, or Flores maybe gets promoted? I think there's a lot of different possibilities with how this could go. And it's interesting to talk and think about, because depending on like who gets promoted post Mizalak, that may change the way we do things in the long-term future. I know a guy that you like personally and you think is probably going to get promoted is Flores, so I'll let you touch on him a little bit.
He's just been like, if you look at how the timeline's been working, in my mind, the original plan was to go with Gersh. They had been getting ready. Gersh was in that GM spot. Mo was set to have already technically retired by now. And then Flores came on pretty strong within the department with scouting.
The director of scouting, yep.
And then they gave him a bump up to AGM and whatnot. Just a couple of years ago, and that coincides roughly with the after I think then COVID kicked things down the line. They wanted to get Flores into the role to possibly take over for Gersh or whatnot. But I just think with how everything has been going, and if you look at Mo's record where he came from being head of scouting under Jocketty and with and coming over from that, ultimately he's one of those guys that I would have wanted to, keep within, and he knows the system too. He's been within the Cardinals organization before, and everything's just looking like they are prepping him to take over. I expect Mo to full on retire when his contract is up. I would be surprised if they promoted Gersh there. I just think Flores makes a lot more sense from everything, if you look at it, especially with what his role is going to be, and then just keeping Gersh in that role. It depends on what he wants to do, but I can tell you, having been inside a front office with a Pobo hierarchy, he actually has a pretty cushy job. None of the blame gets headed his way. People are
Yeah,
yelling Mo
refer
for
to Gersh,
anything
right?
or for, if there's a bad scouting prospect, it's because of Flores. He pretty much just flies under the radar right now and just gets to do like the side jobs. I mean, don't get me wrong, the work that a GM has to do is a lot of like the legwork, while the
Yeah.
elbow gets to do more of the, finesse stuff with the negotiations, scouting stuff like that. But again, he's not, being booed
Yeah,
when
I got
he's
actually a
in.
funny example of that too. I don't know if we have any Office fans who are watching our pod, but if you ever seen when they promoted Jim to co-manager, he was day-to-day, which is like Gersh, and then Michael Scott, Steve Carell's character is big picture, which is Mo. So like anything big picture that goes wrong, it's gonna be falling on Mo. And I think that's interesting you bring that up too, because I had the same thought with Gersh, which is why I think he'll actually be the one that ends up being promoted, is because he's kind of flown on under the radar and he doesn't get blamed or like praised for anything. And he's, I feel like they've been silently like grooming him to take that position next. I could be wrong. I actually very much like Flores as well for some of the reasons that you stated. As like when he was promoted to scouting director, or I guess hired on as scouting director, our drafting philosophy changed drastically here. We used to be like heavy on just draft the most MLB ready arm or the most college ready arm, and it changed a lot from that to just like who has the highest ceiling. And then once Flores took over, there's like Gorman has the highest ceiling, Jordan Walker has the highest ceiling. Chase Davis has the highest ceiling. Whereas before we would be drafting guys like, well, how soon will they be major league ready? And most of the time that was a pitcher. You know, it's changed a lot under Flores, and that's a direction that I actually like. I know we need pitching still, but draft the best player, draft the guy that can make the biggest impact is how I view it. And Flores has done that, and he's hit on a couple of them. Yeah, he's done a great job. Welcome, Zach. We're just kind of talking cards future, freestyling today, so no real like topics of conversation. So you can just throw your two cents in.
100%. You guys are pretty much nail on the head. I think one big thing I have to say is, like, I really want Flores just for like the high potential guys, like you were saying. If he runs the team trying to get the most impactful players instead of the Lance Lynn and
Safe,
Gibby,
yeah. He goes more potential than just safeness. Yeah.
100%. I could like that. Go for trades and free agency as well. You guys are nailing it. That's basically what I have on that.
Okay. Hey, I have a fun topic that we've actually been, chatting about in the community and whatnot, and I think would be fun to bring up here. That post, talking about like if you were a commissioner, we don't have to work from that exact mo model, but I want to hear your guys' thought on what you feel like is wrong with where baseball is at right now, if that makes sense. What can they be doing better as a whole, not just the Cardinals, but baseball as a whole to be attracting more fans, making baseball that sport that it used to be when we were all growing up, per se?
I'm actually very passionate about this. I think there's a few things Major League Baseball can fix or change to make things a little bit better. And we're seeing it play out j this year. I mean, look at the Shohei Ohtani situation in LA. He may or may not be innocent. He probably is. I mean, he's going to court and he's been being sued and he's facing jail time. But just like having these super teams is, I don't think is that great for the game. Especially if you're a small market, like look at Oakland. We're playing them right now, and they're about to lose their team. And I think there needs to be a salary floor and a salary cap, and you need to get rid of this nonsense where you can just like extend the contract out for 30 years and pay it. That's ridiculous. I mean, if you're a fan of a smaller market or even like a mid-market team, you already know like we have no shot at signing the superstar in the offseason. If we happen to draft one and develop one, we probably have no shot at re-signing him. What do I have to be excited about? And I know like there's pretty decent parity in Major League Baseball just because it's a crazy game, but like superstars like bring in viewership. And if you half the league doesn't have any, I think that's something that needs to be addressed. And that's like personally, I got annoyed when they were talking about, oh, Sasaki's probably going to go to the Dodgers too. It's like, if you're the MLB, do you really want every Japanese star player to play on one team, or would you rather them like spread across the league so you have viewership on multiple different teams as opposed to just one audience watching one team? It doesn't make sense from a marketing standpoint. It doesn't make sense from a viewership standpoint, or it's just me personally going on a rant. Hard floor, hard cap. That's what I would do.
I would love to see that. My thing, and you're not gonna, it's not gonna happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
Players Association has made a firm stance that they are not going to accept a salary cap. Owners have made it very clear that they do not want a salary floor. And this is a negotiation. Both sides need to be willing to give it up, and neither one is willing to budge. It would be a great solution, but with Clark and Manfred, holding up both sides right now, it's not going to happen anytime soon. I know
Yeah.
Manfred is set to go, but Clark's been, and I used to like Tony as a player, but, and he's done a lot of good for the Players Association. Let's be very clear. He's done a lot to get minor league players more stuff, to get rookies more stuff and protection, which is fantastic, but on this subject, I vehemently disagree with him. Having a cap and a floor would benefit players all around because that money that isn't getting spent on the top player is going to go to a mid-level or a lower level guy. Just look at like what hockey does. Even the teams that are spending low there, they're still giving out pretty decent contracts. And the teams that want to compete can spend to the cap and whatnot. And the teams that don't, they're still forced to spend a certain amount. Oakland should not be able to get away with spending less on payroll this year than they did in 2005. And that is what is happening. It
They
should
should not be
not
able
be
to get
able
away
to
with spending
happen.
less on their whole team than the Dodgers
No.
spent one player.
But
That's
I mean,
insane.
even then, they shouldn't be able, accounting for inflation, your payroll should naturally go up, if not stay like slightly, around the same height. They are significantly less payroll this year than they were almost 20 years ago. That should not be allowed to happen. That is not good for the league. That is not good for players on Oakland's team. And if you're truly wanting to be representative of all players, you should want to make sure that your lowest level guys are protected from a shitty fucking owner like the A's and
Yeah,
whatnot.
but
Because
and your
they're
goal
just
is
going
to
to move to
grow the
Vegas and do the
game,
same
right?
thing
You want to grow
wherever
the
they
game. How are
move.
you going to have teams that aren't even trying? Like, how are you going to encourage people to watch teams that are purposely not trying?
And the A's are a storied franchise, too. This is a warning to any of those card fans that are like, oh, it could always be better. We should get it could be fucking worse. It could be much fucking worse. So, as much as I get pissed off with the DeWitts about stuff, they do have a commitment to wanting to put a somewhat competitive product on the field for us. And I am at least thankful for that. And I will bitch and moan about the other shit that they do. But, I only want them to sell if it's going to be like to a local ownership group. But I mean, Zach, any thoughts on
Mine's a little different.
this?
It's not so much about the commissioner, but just what I think is wrong with the game. I can correlate it to basketball in a lot of ways, but basketball is nothing but threes and dunks. It's just purely analytical. It's not really fun to watch. There's not very much nuance to the game unless you're watching college basketball. It's the same thing in MLB. I mean, there's either dudes trying to hit jacks, there's a couple Luis Arraez types, and all the pitchers are trying to throw 100 with hammer curves or sweepers now, I guess. With hammer sweepers. It's just the same. Every reliever looks the same out of the pen. Every guy's trying to throw as hard as I can. There's arm injuries. Guys aren't pitching very much into the game. Like, we see more and more back injuries. It seems like every year, you guys just trying to rip up on the ball. It's not really that fun to watch. I love analytics. I don't mind it. But overall, what I'm seeing with people not wanting to watch the games is it's slow. There's home runs. There's so many strikeouts in the game because
Three
pitchers are
strikes.
just,
Yep.
yeah. It's so frustrating to watch at times, even as a Cardinal fan, even when we're winning sometimes. Just whatever, just four hits in a game. It was 1-2-run home run. It was 2-0. It was just kind of, it's not really exciting for, casual fans to watch or get into.
No, completely agree with that.
But scoring has gone down across the league a little bit due to that, though, like just dominant. I mean, you look at the league now compared to what it was 10 years ago. Everyone's throwing mid to high 90s now, where that before that was rare. I mean, you'd be
Right.
hard pressed to find any team in baseball that doesn't have a bullpen with at least three guys that are touching or close to 100. You know, it's a
And I'm
different
not that
league.
convinced that it's a better pitcher. I'm really not. Like, I'm really not convinced that dude throw 92 with movement, who could locate, even though he can't throw 96, 97, isn't a better pitcher doing that than he would be at 96 walking guys or just being consistent. Just
Yeah, that's the old pitcher versus thrower argument too. I mean,
right.
some guys are gifted and they have both, but you have a lot more throwers in today's league than you do pitchers for sure.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, I no real arguments for me there. The things that I would really change personally, the league needs to do a better job investing in the youth movement here in the US. Like, they've been pushing the league all around the country. And I mean, the thing is if you look at youth sports right now, especially with like baseball, the participation rates and everything, like you're not getting the kids anymore coming to the games as much and whatnot. They're staying at home, they're watching, but it's one of those things where if you get the kids now, not only do they provide you with future fans and prospect pool to pull from, but they bring their parents. Somebody has to take the kids to the game. They have to go and watch. And I mean, I've seen a lot of stuff blown up, but a lot of it's more adults. And then the other thing too is the blackout issue. They're in this
Oh my goodness.
archaic model right now where they deprive their own fans, hundreds of thousands, sometimes in some places like LA, millions of fans, of the
Millions
opportunity to
across the
watch
country.
their game. Like, I am over, I think I'm like 70 miles from Dodger Stadium and whatnot, and I'm like 60 miles from the Padres. I'm blacked out on both the Dodgers and the Angels, but I'm not blacked out on the Padres and whatnot, you know? So it's just like this like crazy shit. So I end up missing games that I want to watch, you know. It just doesn't make much sense to me, especially with streaming, and that they're giving into these cable guys when there are a lot better options out there, in my opinion. And it just kills the game, because if you want to go and watch it, all of a sudden you're like, oh, blackout. You have two choices. You either pirate it or you just say fuck it and you go do something else.
Yeah, that's a major issue. Completely agree 100%. And being from St. Louis, like you can go over to Illinois, you're still blacked out. And in Iowa, it's blacked out in places in Iowa and Kansas for the Cardinals, that is. I should clarify.
Cardinals
Yeah,
have a
it's all the way to
large
Arkansas.
blackout area. It's a
It's
problem.
ridiculous. Like you're living, if you live hundreds of miles away, and like even if you're not, like really, they should just get rid of the blackouts altogether. The regional locking,
I
it
mean,
doesn't
I
work.
have
You're
the Cardinals
polarizing
rules
away
and
from the
Cubs are
sport.
all three blocked out where I'm at Springfield.
It's crazy. So, what, 3 hours
There are some
away?
things that should be blocked out, you know, big events, you know, things like that. Like you can make the World Series or the playoffs like a direct,
Yeah.
you have to have this person. But these regular season games, if as long as you're in the area and paying, you know, somebody, you should have access to the game in some way. And look at all these networks. Bally's is dying completely and selling off. Like, these networks aren't doing anything right by their clients either with that.
No, not only that, like, see, I pay an arm and a leg to just to have cable here to watch the games. Pirating's a little too unreliable, but like, then we have the Apple TV games too, and like, I can't watch that. Like, that's I'm already paying so much just to watch the games, and you're gonna have these other like special Apple TV games or ESPN games that I can't watch either. Yeah, they definitely need to do a better job of, letting fans access the game. The idea is to bring viewers in, right? So let them
Yeah.
watch.
I mean, that's where the ad revenue is tied to, too. When you're blacking out, I mean, again, here in LA, you're blacking out millions of people. Like, the amount that you can charge for ad dollars when you're negotiating at the table with like a Sony or, you know, an In-N-Out or a Five Guys or a, you know, Ted Drew's or something, like, you need to sell them on how many eyeballs are going to be getting it. And when you're literally losing millions, you're just shooting yourself in the goddamn foot. Like, I just, the exclusivity
It's just
makes
crazy
sense.
because any given Sunday in the NFL, you could watch nine games, eight or nine games, just with basic cable.
Yeah.
There's so much access to football all the time. Even Saturdays, there's so much college football from teams I would never watch, even if I wanted to. There's just so many games on.
But they're
Oh,
accessible,
exactly.
right? So like you
That's
watch it.
exactly. Exactly.
To touch on your earlier point and kind of rewind a little bit, you're talking about the youth movement, and I think one of the issues, and it's not just a it's a baseball thing, it's more of like a societal thing, is a lot of children these days have a much shorter attention span, and that's just kind of a product of the environment we live in now. If you look at like you get the YouTube shorts and you got the TikTok and you got the Instagram reels, and it's harder to market baseball because it's such a long-term focus like sport,
Even
whereas
when you
like
get drafted, it's two or three
yeah
years before you even make it to major leagues. It's like you watch the
exactly
draft and you can't be excited. You
yeah
know,
like
you are, but you're
whereas
not.
football, it's different. You draft the guy in the number one overall and he's starting, you know, and
He's
that's
changing
just,
your team, maybe. Yeah.
and I
That
love
year.
baseball, but that's something like they need to be able to figure out a way to like grab the attention in like a in a shorter time frame to get people invested in it.
So I'm you're gonna get an argument from me here because I am a huge ADHD, you know, kid. when I was growing up. And the thing that I actually loved the most about baseball and attracted it, me as a child, is that I could zone out for points at a time in a baseball game. There are literally built-in moments in baseball where you just get to zone out and tune back in. And you only need to pay attention for about 8 seconds at a time max for a baseball
That's
play, which
true.
is perfect for anybody that has ADHD. Every baseball play, I just need to pay attention for as long as my fucking little mind can, and then I can go zoom off, do all the other shit while the pitcher's walking around, the batter's getting dug in. Oh, gotta pay attention again. Oh, perfect. Cool. Next play. For kids with ADHD, it's actually the perfect sport for them. And I think that might be a missed marketing opportunity for them to be like, hey, you don't need to pay attention for 4 fucking hours like you do. No offense. I love hockey to death, but I sometimes just zone out in the middle of a hockey game if it's like just going back and forth, if there's not constant, hitting and whatnot that lures you back in. Or with football, it's like, when the fuck are they going to call this play? When are they going to run it? And you're just sitting
Right.
there. Hike, hike, hike. All right, I already lost attention before you got to the third fucking hike. Thanks, Rogers.
The final 2 minutes taking like 10 minutes in football, or when they start fouling at the end of the basketball game is the absolute worst
Basketball
thing
is
in the world.
worse about that, yeah.
Oh, basketball is freaking awful. They're like, I cannot watch the last 5 minutes of any basketball game because the last 5 minutes take a half hour. It's
Yep.
unfucking believable.
But I
And
think that's one of the things about baseball, and I actually don't disagree with the idea of the pitch clock. I think it
I
long
love it.
may be good for the sport. As if you watch baseball, like, or I mean, you're a big baseball fan, like the dead time in baseball is more than twice as long as the actual in-game action, and that's where I think they lose people. So speeding up the game, and I get that there's the argument that pitchers' elbows, and I mean, the data
There
suggests that was happening anyway, and that was more to do with them throwing harder, like you mentioned,
is
Zach.
a as somebody that pitched, you can look at plenty of examples. Like, look at Waino. There are plenty of examples over his career where he would speed up his delivery. And if he was on and if he was feeling it, there's plenty of guys where they just literally go back up to the rubber, get in, because the batter has to get in the box, and bam, you're in control of the at bat, not the batter. And so, like, you can see plenty of examples. Like, yes, now they can't slow down and go at a snail's pace anymore, like Wainwright would
Yeah,
also do
Theo.
at times if he wasn't feeling that. It might take him a little longer to throw that, but I think the pitch clock has been great for
Yeah,
baseball.
I think so as well. Speed up the game, it keeps it more interesting. Like I said, way less dead time now.
I
I
mean,
mean, do
Johnny Cueto, since there'd be 45 seconds in between pitches, it felt like.
yeah.
So there were certain guys, it wasn't everybody, but there were certain guys that it was like just ridiculous to watch pitch sometimes.
Well, yeah, we have one, Gio Gonzalez, or
Yeah.
Gio Gallegos, I'm sorry. He had the longest time between pitches in baseball, like on average for like the last 3 seasons prior to the pitch clock. He just took ages.
I know. Well, anyways, with time running down, and you guys got any final thoughts, anything that we didn't really get to touch on?
Rest in
Just
peace, Whitey Herzog. He passed away
Agreed.
today. The White Rat. He's responsible for maybe the most exciting era of Cardinals baseball ever. A Hall of Famer for a reason. He'll be missed. I was glad to see that he was able to make the opening day this year one last time. So it's pretty
Absolutely.
cool.
Rest in peace, Whitey. And,
I second that. I
condolences
just
to
say
his
that's sweet
family.
the fucking A's.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's
It
do that. All right, guys.
puts us back
Well,
above 500. So yeah.
there we go.
that'll do it for this episode of Birds on a Blue Note. Thanks again for joining us. I would love to hear any of your guys' comments as well as what you think, baseball might do, or any of the other topics that we touched on tonight with the youth movement and whatnot. So yeah. Just let us know. Have a great night and take care, everybody.